Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today's podcast is so super interesting. I want to talk all about peptides and peptide science, and we're doing it with an amazing expert. This is Patricia Boland. We call her Trish. She leads color science as the Senior Vice President of R&D and Quality, and she has a huge experience in product innovation and development, and I love how cosmeceutically elegant all the color science products are, and she's one of the people that's responsible for the final formulations of these amazing patented award-winning products, some of my favorite sunscreens out there. But I think today's podcast is particularly interesting because we're going to talk about the role of vitamin D, the skin barrier, and how your skin makes its own vitamin D if you get the right exposures and the right boosters. And she is a beautiful second generation Texan, a wife, a mother of two. She's a boss at Color Science, and she's also even worked at Laura Mercier Cosmetics as chief beauty director. I think she brings so much interest and an interesting innovation to what we're doing in cosmeceuticals. So welcome to the podcast, Trish.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. I'm always honored and excited to spend more time with you. So thank you.
Yeah, Trish is one of my favorite people at meetings to like escape the meeting and go sit somewhere and just talk.
Likewise. Likewise.
What are we doing for our lifestyle longevity and like great latest and greatest supplements, products, and things that we're trying? Yes. So talk to us a little bit. You've had this remarkable career going from Laura Mercier over to Color Science, and here at Color Science, really leading research and development and innovation with brand new ingredients. And what are the ingredients that you're so excited about this year?
Gosh, there have been a few. You know, we're always meeting with different ingredient suppliers, and you know, we have some that we really lean into a lot because they do so much clinical studying on their ingredients. They look at them in different dosages, and you know, they know that that is one of the prerequisites for using an ingredient in one of our formulas, is that we need to know that it has clinical evidence. We need to know at what dosage does it provide what benefit. And so, you know, a lot of times we get access to them first and are, you know, constantly looking at the pipeline and looking at where can we use this? Where is it going to make the greatest impact? What is it synergistic with? And so there have been some really cool peptides we've seen in the last few years. There have been a lot of great botanical extracts too. You know, I think we're seeing this resurgence of botanicals and, you know, some of these fantastic properties that they can offer to our skin and our skin processes. So that's, I think, what I'm most excited about. And then the synergy, you know, of those together. And then, of course, with sun care too.
I love that. Color Science is definitely a leader in mineral sunscreens. What are some of the biggest innovations that you've seen in this space? Because you guys have recently come out with a bunch of products that have gone viral and are just so usable and so beautiful and great for skin.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, I think it's just finding technology partners that understand your mission. You know, our mission is to be sure that we create ways that SPF becomes a daily habit. It becomes, you know, as intuitive as brushing our teeth or taking a shower, you know, getting dressed. And so we look for ways that we can incorporate wearing sun protection in everyday life. I always say the best product is something that you can live in. And to me, that means that you don't really have to think about it. It is very intuitive, and it's something that you like the way it makes you feel, or you like the way it makes you look. And if those things are true, you will continue to reach for it. And so I think the biggest innovations have been these unique zinc oxide dispersions, so that they go into different formulas in a very cosmetically elegant way. You don't have the white cast that used to be associated with minerals. The texture is nice. It's not drying on the skin. It doesn't feel heavy or occlusive. And then I think the benefit of being able to combine things like zinc oxide, mineral SPF active with things like iron oxides that are delivering not only immediate color, so you have that cosmetic benefit, cosmetic enhancement, but you also have the benefit of the HEV protection. We know that both zinc oxide but also iron oxides help with protecting the skin against blue light. And while we get the most of it from outdoor exposure, sun exposure, it's the cumulative part that we also have to think about. So, a lot of times people will say, well, I'm inside all day. I don't even have a commute. I work from home. And so I don't really, feel like I need SPF every day. But we're trying to create products that are doing more, going beyond just the UV, going into HEV, going into IR, pollution protection. So there have been a lot of really cool advancements, in mineral sunscreens in the last few years.
Love that. I think that is so critical. Do you think that sunscreens will evolve to allow full spectrum light to come into the skin while simultaneously protecting against damage?
I hope so. I think that that would be so cool. But a lot of what you see brands doing now, a lot of what we do at Color Science is that total protection. So it may not be with just one active, but I think we've seen that zinc oxide, for example, zinc oxide is really strong in the UVA part of the spectrum, but it also has strong attenuation in the UVB. That's why you see, formulas that are using only zinc oxide for the SPF protective benefit. But then you also, like I was saying before, you can combine that with different levels of the yellow and the red and the black iron oxides. And that combined with zinc oxide is also giving you HEV. And then we do know that some of those iron oxides do have attenuation benefits out into the IR part of the spectrum. So I think right now, not necessarily one ingredient that does all of it, but I think that there are a good combination of ingredients readily available today that we can use in the right amounts, the right dosages to still get a really nice, complete broad spectrum attenuation, but also have a nice, aesthetic benefit, have textures that you can wear and that you want to wear.
I love that. So there's been a lot of talk this year about skin barrier and how important the skin barrier is to keep it intact and replenished.
Sure.
Skin being your biggest organ, can you talk a little bit about skin barrier?
Yeah, I think skin barrier is something. Skin barrier, I think, has become a little bit of a buzzword in the last few years. But I think, for those of us that are in the industry, we think of skin barrier as making sure that our skin is protected, making sure that it has really the fundamentals. I think of it that way. We've got to be sure that we're keeping the skin hydrated. We have to be sure that collagen and elastin is, still being produced and that it's quality collagen and elastin. We have to think about things like skin cell turnover, and that slows down as we age. So we want to be sure that we're paying attention to that, that we're focusing on things that are regenerating skin, that are helping it to heal and repair. So I think even though barrier health, skin barrier has become a term or a buzzword that we're hearing a lot more in the last few years, I think it really just comes down to fundamentally, what are the things that we can do for our skin? And I think it also and I'd be interested to know if you agree with us. I think it lends itself to such a wide range of skin types. It's not something like hyperpigmentation or redness, rosacea that's more targeted. Barrier health is something that we all need. We all need to be focused on, and it should be, I think, very much kind of table stakes for, a skincare formulation.
Yeah, the more we learn about skin and in the longevity space, the more important I think that barrier is, because this whole idea of the skin being connected with the GI tract, being connected with the brain. Like there was a really interesting study that showed patients in a nursing home when they just had skin barrier repair, like literally something so simple as putting a good lipid emollient on their extremities every day, that their
Right.
dementia improved when they had two control groups.
Oh, wow.
So crazy. And I was like,
Wow.
is that the human interaction of massaging it in? I think it's more than that. I literally think that this, the crepe texture and the loss of transepidermal water and like the exposure to organisms and inflammatory mediators that come in through your skin, like
Right. The
so
immune
much.
defense piece of it. I
Exactly. And
mean,
then I thought
yeah.
that was so super interesting. So I think there's such a big gut-brain connection and connection to the skin, of course. And we've seen this that when we improve the barrier, the symptom inflammatory symptoms go down, right? Like rosacea patients
Right.
get calming effect. And then we see the opposite too, where our patients do too much on their skin, like too much retinol, too much retin-A, too much needling, lasering, like not giving the barrier time to
Yes.
regenerate. So I think that's super important as well.
Yeah, I think so too, because I think our skin fatigues, right? When we're doing so many things to it, and we have to give it time to heal. We have to give it time to repair, and we, have to give it all of those things that it needs in order to function as optimized as possible. And so I think you're right. I think and it's got to be the right harmony, right? The kind of the right consistency of it all.
Exactly. Now, you guys have come out with a recent solution to some barrier issues. Let's talk about that
We
because I
have.
think that's so exciting. It has both barrier repair function as well as kind of stimulating skin's production of vitamin D levels.
Yes, absolutely. So, before I get into the brand new one, just to sort of back up a little to how we came about this concept and this idea is, to your point, barrier health, we're talking a lot more about it and understanding that it is a primary need, a fundamental need for all of our skins. And so about a year ago, maybe a little more than a year, we launched our Barrier Pro platform of products. And so we just launched with a cleanser and a moisturizer. But the moisturizer especially, it's so much more than a moisturizer, and we call it our essential moisturizer. And that's because it has essentially a hydration moisturization complex. It has a microbiome complex. So we have a pre, a pro, and a postbiotic in the formula. And then we also have ingredients that we refer to as, I know you've heard us say this, adaptive response. And to us, adaptive response means there are so many ingredients that are able to help our skin respond better to certain, things. So the opsins in our skin that respond to light. So there's an ingredient, a hydrolyzed pea protein that is helping with the DNA repair pathways and helping our skin to better respond when we're exposed to light. So it helps to our skin to defend itself more readily, more aptly. And so I think, this approach of having all of those together, it's again so much more than a moisturizer. And I mentioned that we did a cleanser as well. And so this next step was launching a serum spray. And so we wanted something that could be delivered in a slightly, different delivery method. So serums you think of typically, pumping in your hand and massaging them into the skin. We wanted something that you could spray on, but something that you could use not just for your face. You could use it for face, for neck, for décolleté. I mean, you could spray it on your shoulders, really anywhere. And our thought was, let's infuse it with those same barrier repair, barrier health ingredients, the hydration, the microbiome piece, the adaptive response. But can we take the adaptive response a step further? And so, being that we offer so many mineral SPF options, what we hear a lot is, well, what about my vitamin D? What about my vitamin D? And we know that most of us are either deficient or deficient and have insufficient vitamin D, meaning not only do we not have enough of it, but that we do have isn't working as efficiently as possible for, one reason or another. And so as we were looking at different ingredients and looking at different opportunities to address this, we came across a very unique chronopeptide ingredient that has great synergy with a plant cell nectar that comes from a succulent plant. And together, these two have the ability to not only make vitamin D receptor activation more consistent, but also to help increase the synthesis of vitamin D in both our fibroblasts and in our keratinocytes. So actually being able to provide, vitamin D synthesis to the cells. And it was just such a kind of aha moment for us, seeing these two ingredients, learning about them, again, looking at the dosages that the ingredient suppliers had studied, but then also looking at how can they be really meaningful in a product that is also offering that hydrolyzed pea protein that's helping those light repair pathways. And so that's where this concept was born, and the idea that you don't have to just be outside in order to trigger the vitamin D receptor activation and to start that process of synthesizing vitamin D.
I think a lot of people are not aware that vitamin D that you take as an oral supplement exists and goes down fully different metabolic pathways than the vitamin D that your skin internally makes and produces. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what's
That was interesting for us also. So many of us are taking some type of vitamin D supplement, but that vitamin D supplement that we're ingesting is, processed through our liver, and it's very different from the vitamin D that is created in our skin. So I actually, as I was digging into this, I didn't realize how much of the vitamin D is actually created by our skin and then used by our skin. So about 90% of the vitamin D that is, that we're using, that our body is using, is created in the skin. And so to your point earlier, our skin is our largest organ. When you think about it and you have those facts, it really does make sense. And it also makes sense, maybe why so many of us are vitamin D deficient or have insufficiency in our vitamin D production. And so when we are exposed, and so I mention UV because sunlight is a trigger. We hear vitamin D called the sunshine vitamin. Sunlight is a trigger. And so what happens is the sunlight triggers or activates our vitamin D receptors in our skin cells. And then that kicks off, an entire process of activating those receptors. Those receptors then are able to act as vitamin D can then act as, cofactors and is created in our skin. And we can see that it's both in our keratinocytes, in our fibroblasts. There are even vitamin D receptors on our melanocytes. And
I
so,
did not
so
even
many.
realize that I didn't realize that fibroblasts are making vitamin D, actually.
And so we, as we started looking at this and going, well, what kind of things? I always think to myself, that's so cool, but then what does that mean? What does that look like on the skin? Because there are lots of things that we could spray on or that we could massage on, but at the end of the day, we're looking for some kind of sign of change or sign of improvement. And so as we started studying this more and more, we saw things like improved like microcirculation in the skin, better oxygenation of the skin. And so what does that look like? We saw things like redness start to improve, start to be reduced. We saw things like areas of maybe poor microcirculation. So, I automatically think about my dark circles around my eyes and things like that. We saw that start to improve. We saw luminosity in the skin start to improve. We saw things like not necessarily yet, because the initial study we did, I should mention, was a 4-week study. It was a 4-week in-use study. We wanted to use it on subjects that were either using, maybe more novice, and were using very straightforward skincare regimens. And then we also wanted to use it on, people like you and I that have access to a lot of different treatments and, are using a lot of different, maybe more advanced skincare options. And in both groups, we saw things like improvement in skin, what looked like skin tautness. One of the studies called it skin tonicity. So, not necessarily meaning color of the skin, but like if you think of tone when you exercise and your muscles get toned, just the kind of the overall quality of our skin. And so we saw improvements in that, where it's too early, 4 weeks is really too early to start seeing collagen start to build. But I think the combination of the improved microcirculation and oxygenation and hydration that's also happening as a result of vitamin D synthesis, and all of this started almost mimicking, if I could use that kind of word, started mimicking the look of stronger, firmer skin. Just the overall quality, smoothness, pore size was improved. So it was, we've got more studies that we're starting right now, but that was a real, eye-opener for us to see all of the things, all of the ways that vitamin D can impact the look and the quality of our skin.
So for me, that implies that I will put this spray on in the mornings, first layer, but I'm still going to be putting sunscreen on top of that. Like, what is that going to impact the sun exposure and the magnification of the vitamin D production because some UVB is necessary to make vitamin D?
It's not. So, yeah. So, I'm so glad you mentioned this. So, the way that we recommend using it is, as you said, after, so morning and evening, after we cleanse our skin, this is going to be one of the first things you put on. So, if you're putting on a toner or something that requires, you to wipe something on, then you would do that first. But this would come next, and you want to give it a moment to absorb into the skin. But then you do, the rest of your skincare regimen. Absolutely, we're going to want to do SPF. But then if you do go out and you're exposed to UV, and we're worried, right? You mentioned, well, the SPF is sort of, it's shielding, it's protecting from that UV. So how is the vitamin D being synthesized? And so that's where this unique chronopeptide, this peptide ingredient, is really unique and differentiated, because it has the ability to keep that vitamin D receptor activated even if you're not exposed to UV. So that means that at night, when we're sleeping, we're not exposed to UV, or even you don't have to be sleeping. You're just, the sun has gone down and, there is no UV exposure. There is still a vitamin D receptor activation happening, which means that you have the ability to continue synthesizing the vitamin D. That then, combined with this plant cell nectar that I mentioned, comes from a succulent plant. And this plant has the ability to regulate its water capacity, its water content. It has the ability to protect itself against UV. But most importantly, we saw at different dosages, it has the ability to increase vitamin D synthesis, and it was studied in both keratinocytes and fibroblasts. It also has the ability, I mentioned the hydration piece, to increase the tissue water index. So we have more hydration in our skin as well. And so when you have those two together, and it was studied with an SPF 50 cream, which I thought was so brilliant and so unique, being that, we're really trying to make daily SPF a habit, as I shared. Now you have this really unique ability that you don't need UV to trigger that vitamin D receptor activation. You don't need that to happen because you've got this unique chronopeptide. And then you have this plant cell nectar that is helping with your reserves of vitamin D and helping to hydrate the skin through that tissue, water index measurements. And so we can see that that is happening and then is leading to all of these great benefits that you can see in terms of your barrier health and your skin quality.
That's so fascinating that we went to the desert to find a plant that probably through millions of years of evolution developed this characteristic because it has to avoid getting scorched and like
Right.
retain water. And so this peptide kind of fits like a lock and key right into that human vitamin D, trigger and whatever receptor is prompting the production of vitamin D. That's so interesting. Do you see blood levels change of vitamin D, or we haven't gone that far yet?
We haven't gone that far. We are heading into that next. So we are just now kicking off. I shouldn't say just now kicking off. We've actually been working on the protocol for quite some time, but we are about to start. We are starting with the subject enrollment. We're using a third-party lab, and are starting subject enrollment, and we will look at not only blood serum levels for the vitamin D piece, but we're also looking at different microbiome benefits that this ingredient, because it still has that pre, pro, and postbiotic. And we know that the synergy between our barrier, our microbiome, vitamin D synthesis, all of those things work together. It's important to have, a healthy, a balanced microbiome so that, as we're creating vitamin D in the skin, that all of these processes are optimized. So part of the study will be not only the serum levels, not only the microbiome piece, but then also looking at some instrumentation data, looking at hydration levels in the skin, looking at any changes in, for example, redness, skin tone, elasticity, firmness, those kinds of things. So I'm really excited for that to kick off. It's going to be a longer study. This one is a 12-week study across, many subjects. I think it's 30 subjects that we're going with. And so that, we'll be excited to share that data once we get it.
That's exciting. I think it's so important in this industry that's really filled with a lot of marketing hype that brands like Color Science, you guys are very good at investing in clinical studies and actual data to kind of build trust with physicians and consumers.
I think you have to. I mean, I really think that clinical studies today are they're table stakes. You have to be able to really demonstrate what your product is doing and sometimes also what it's not doing. And I think that we at Color Science are in a unique situation because we sell, as you know, direct to the consumer, but we also sell directly to you as the, physician, as the skin health professional. And so we have to make sure that when we're creating a new product, that we've looked at the science, not just of the ingredients, but what is that biological process that the ingredient or that the complex or the product itself is targeting? And then how do we prove it to you? How do we prove it to you as the professional? And are we able to, speak that same language and to properly articulate what the product benefit is, but also being able to distill that a bit and explain to the consumer why this is a meaningful addition to their daily routine and what those benefits are. So I think, again, at clinicals, we really pride ourselves not only on studying the products that we're bringing to market, but studying them in unique ways so that we can articulate the benefit and how that fits into someone's routine.
This product is going to be amazing. I love the thinking that's gone into it. Like, just the concept of putting a prebiotic and a postbiotic and a probiotic, all of that in one bottle. And I love that it uses peptides, which are some of the strongest communicating molecules in our body. I think
They're
it's,
the best.
yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're the best. And there are so many peptides. We're seeing so many of them. So making sure that the delivery is there and that we're able to deliver them where we need them. But yeah, we love peptides. We turn to peptides a lot. And most peptides work in the dermis, but we have another peptide that we use in some of our other products that's actually in our Barrier Pro Essential Moisturizer that works specifically in the epidermis. So I think we'll continue to see a lot of innovation in, various peptides and combinations of peptides. So very exciting.
It's the year of the
Yeah.
peptide. I love it. Well, Dermascope magazine said that you were a beauty architect. What do you think is one of the most important kind of blueprint for, taking care of your skin? Like, if you had to recommend a single most important piece of advice for protection for the blueprint for beauty.
Yeah, I think it's SPF. I think we say a lot at Color Science that sun care is the first step to skin care and that really SPF is skin care. I'll tell you, I was not good to my skin. As a young woman, I loved being in the sun. We had a house near the beach and spent every weekend there. And back then that's if you used SPF, you would use it if you're on the beach all day or something like that. And I grew up in the time of tanning beds and the more tan you were, the more fit you looked. I mean, crazy things that when I say them now, they just sound ludicrous because they are. But I can tell you just in the last 13 years, even of, being part of Color Science and leading this innovation team, wearing an SPF 50 every day has so dramatically changed my skin. And I've done other things too, right? But the way that it has transformed. And so I would just say, starting with an SPF, I tell my daughter, my son, the number one thing is to wear an SPF every day. And then of course you want to be sure that you're, hydrating your skin, that you're focusing on barrier health. Antioxidants are great. I sort of think of that as barrier health too, but I think finding a great, barrier product that you love, but also just making sure you have an SPF that you'll apply every day. Having something that you can reapply is great as well, but just for sure, sun protection.
That's right. 90% of aging is from the lovely sun.
Yes, it is.
Well, this has been so fascinating. I hope everybody listening got an insider's peek into the ideas of vitamin D production coming from your skin intrinsically and being so important, I think, for overall skin glow. Thank you, Trish. Where can people find you if they want to reach out or ask
Thank you.
questions?
Yeah. Thank you. So I am on LinkedIn. You can find me, Patricia McGill Boland. You can also find me at our Instagram. So you can go to the Color Science or you can find me at Color Science Trish.
I love it. Well, guys, you heard it here first. It's all about vitamin D in the skin. This is new. We only thought of vitamin A in the past, and now we're going to have all these conversations about vitamin D, and I'm here for it. That's
Yes,
it for now,
same.
guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, and our website is the same. It's beautybydrk.com, and that's where you can learn more and more about skin longevity and all the things we're doing for health, beauty, and wellness. Love you guys and stay beautiful.